Hey, this is Britt Taylor, and you're listening to The Barn.
I got a cabin in the woods. It does my soul so good. Come on over if you would to my cabin. I got an old dog sitting on the porch. He lays there all night.
Hi, and welcome to The Barn, live from The Barn Studio. This is The Mox, and I am joined today with a very special guest online right now. We have Miss Britt Taylor. Britt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really good. Thanks for joining us today. And I guess my first question right out of the chute is, did you sleep last night?
No, I have not slept in 2 nights.
Really? For the listening audience, do you want to tell us why yesterday was a special day for you?
Yesterday, I made my debut on the Grand Ole Opry.
Oh, very cool. Here. That's the studio audience there. Congratulations. I mean, what an honor, right? Was that something, is just something you've dreamed of since maybe you were a little kid?
Oh my gosh, it's something I think that every country music singer that aspires to, you know, make it in Nashville, make it as a country singer, I think we all aspire to that. And if they don't, they should. If they don't, they don't know no better.
And I love the story of this too. So you found out, you got an email or an invite, I guess, the day that your album, your new album, Kentucky Blue, was released. Is that right?
Yes. And they were like, the Opry would like to have you perform and do a debut. And I was like, what? It's not something that you can book. It's not something that you can submit for. It's just something you get asked to do.
I didn't get to see the performance, but I did see a little highlight reel of maybe some of your social media stuff, of your name on the you know, the dressing room or whatever it is, and you guys kind of backstage. Walk us through that whole process. Is that what yesterday was like for you?
It was crazy. From the moment that we pulled up and I got to park in the, you know, they had my reserved spot and I said my name and Opry debut. And then walking through the artist entrance, there's the big awning that says artist entrance. And you know, I've walked through that entrance a bunch, you know, going to see other shows. I went and watched Sturgill Simpson there. That's where we first met. It was just surreal. It felt so much more different this time that it was my show. It was my experience. And knowing that I was about to step into the circle, it was just really emotional. I was feeling a million things at once. It felt surreal and just very magical. And I had all the people that I love around me that have been supporting me. And it was the best night.
Well, that's so cool. And we are excited. You're coming to our area, St. Louis, in about a week or so. You'll be at Off Broadway with Mr. Brent Cobb, another legend there. Thursday, March 30th. Doors are at 7, shows at 8, $25, all ages. We're excited to have you into town.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to be on the road with Brent. He's one of my heroes. He's such a great, incredible songwriter. It's going to be a fun time.
And I know songwriting is very important to you, and it sounds like you even surround yourself. You mentioned Sturgill, and then obviously going on tour with Brent with legendary songwriters. Are you able to pick up things from guys like that and from people like that that help you with your songwriting?
Oh, yeah. I think every time that I'm in a co-write, I kind of just like to think of it as school. You learn from the people that you're with, and you learn by listening to their songs, too, and just soaking it all in. I've gotten to write with Brent once, and hopefully we'll get to do some more of that. But he's incredible.
Yeah, and you have a new album out, Kentucky Blue, produced by, you mentioned, Sturgill Simpson and Grammy winner David Ferguson, was released in February. Tell us a little bit about Kentucky Blue and what that album means for you.
Yeah, I just feel so lucky to have been able to put that album out. It's just nuts that I got to make an album with Sturgill Simpson and David Ferguson. I just think, you know, nobody does country music quite like they do. And they're just so brave to not really try to fit within anybody's expectations or molds or boxes. And we just went in there and had a lot of fun doing all the different things that I love, which is a lot of stuff, Appalachian and bluegrass and country and 90s country, 80s, 60s, 70s. I love, you know, old doo-wop and disco and just trying to get it all in there and make it make sense. And it was an awesome experience.
And, you know, I think about a guy like Sturgill Simpson and even Brett Cobb, like, they seem to push back on the industry and some of what the industry expectations are or the way they kind of do things. And listening to Kentucky Blue, I hear that on your album as well. It sort of sounds like to me a little bit of a middle finger to some people or some cities or whatever it might be. But there's a little rebellious spirit in there.
Yeah, it's just that record is about standing your own ground and being comfortable in your own skin for me, and just, which isn't hard. It's not easy to do. I think it's harder than ever to stand authentically in your own skin. I mean, with all the Instagram filters and like, there's so many ways to escape yourself and to be whatever you think you're supposed to be. But the bravest thing to be is yourself, because nobody else can do that. You know, everybody can pop a filter on their picture, but nobody can be you. And that's scary though. It's really scary. And, they're so good at that, and they inspire me to be more real and more authentic and brave and bold.
Do you find yourself adjusting to sort of the culture that we live in now, where everything is so 60-second clips and highlights of everything, whereas like a songwriter, I imagine your albums are full pieces of work for you. You're trying to maybe paint a whole picture or tell a whole story. Do you find yourself having difficulty with that sort of, very abbreviated version of art of what we see?
Definitely. I do struggle with that. I'm trying to, again, just try to figure out how to do that in the most authentic way, because I don't always feel aligned with the trends. And I can't force myself to chase them. It just feels bad and wrong. And, you know, if there's something that I, you know, think is funny or I think is fun, like a dog video, like I'll do that with my dogs, you know. But Right. Yeah. Just again, just trying to chase things that are me and create things that are me and figure out how to get my story across. But yeah, it is tough to do that in that 60 seconds. And even, you know, releasing singles, like I want people to listen to the record, you know, 1 through 10, not 3 and then 2 and then 4. And, you know, I want it's a body of work. And I spent a lot of time on, you know, sequencing and how everything was supposed to go. And I hope that people will, you know, if they do find a 60 second clip, I hope that it drives them to the music and they'll listen 1 through 10.
Right. I seem to mention this quite a bit with all the artists that we talk to, but I love the resurgence of vinyl because of that, right?
Yeah.
You can drop the needle, you know, literally, and then let it play and without having to skip all around. And, you know, I also love the accessibility of music these days. I can pull up any artist, a million bands or a million artists, and listen to them. But it does seem like something is kind of lost when you're talking about full albums. And even, you know, you see a lot of EPs being released rather than full albums. And I think it's artists just trying to find their way into managing what maybe the listener wants or what they expect and what they want to. So
totally. I love having a vinyl just because it's such an active listening experience, because you have to, you know, after those 5 songs are finished, you have to go flip the record over. You can't just kind of mindlessly listen to vinyl. And I think that's really cool. But it's also really cool to, you know, have access on your phone at any time to find any song that you want. So I think we live in a pretty cool time, though, really. To have both of those experiences, I think is really cool.
I agree. You know, talking about the album Kentucky Blue, as much as I love a good foot stomper, you know, get out your seat and shake your ass a little bit, I am a fan of what I call old sad bastard music. You know, the ones that sort of elicit some kind of emotional feeling that maybe they have a somber tone to them. And when I think about songs like that, especially on your new record, a song like Kentucky Blue stands out. Sounds like a breakup song. Sounds like it has a somber tone to it. Can you tell us a little bit about the title track, Kentucky Blue?
Yeah, that I love old sad songs, just like you said. And I really love the like old sad songs, because there was a vulnerability to them that I think has been lost for a while. Like, it's like all of a sudden songs turned into, I'm going to key your truck and I'm better off without you, you right. know?
Yeah.
And like, and I think at some point you get to that stage, and the stage of grief, like that is a very valid emotion, but we kind of just skipped over the denial and the longing. I mean, even if it's somebody, you know, that is bad for you, that you shouldn't be with, and you know that, it's the best thing, you still miss somebody. You still go through a stage of grief where you're like, did I mess up? Should I have stayed? Should I, you know, there's that, it's a very honest and vulnerable stage that I don't feel like a lot of people want to stand in because it's so uncomfortable. So we don't talk about it. And that's Kentucky Blue. It's just pure longing. It's that stage of grief. And it's kind of crazy because it kind of still sounds almost jolly. Yeah. It's got kind of those like LA Glen Campbell vibes that make it sound like it's almost happy. And those are my favorite kind of sad songs.
Yeah. Kind of think about the guy, you know, at the end of the bar next to the jukebox, and he keeps playing the old George Jones song or something, you know, thinking about it. And you mentioned authenticity earlier. You know, I don't, you know, like I said, that's an emotion that you might feel no matter what the situation. So I just love that song. But I cannot let you get out of here without talking about my favorite song on the album, No Cowboys.
I wrote that song with my husband. We're actually driving to Nashville to route with Nick Autry, and we were passing the Pedal Tavern pickup and drop off. I don't know if you've seen a Pedal Tavern before.
Oh yeah.
Well, it was full of like a bachelorette party, I'm assuming, because they were all dressed the same and in white, and they were already drunk as hell at like 10:30 a.m.
Oh, geez.
And I looked at my husband, and we were laughing, and all of a sudden I just got salty, and I looked at him and I said, well, I hope they didn't come to this town looking for cowboys, because there ain't none left. And my husband looked at me, he didn't even laugh. He just got big eyes, and he was like, babe, that's the song we're writing today. We're writing that. And we did. And the first thing I thought when Sturgill said he wanted to make my record was, he's going to love No Cowboys.
Yeah, and I do too. We have that in common, me and Sturgill. I just love, you know, I love that sentiment too, because I sort of see it, you know, just in the little things that we do with some of the industry and some of the artists that we talk to and the fans that are take part in some of that. It's just, you know, to me, it seems like you can put the clothes on, but that doesn't really make you one kind of thing. And you even mentioned, you know, wearing the Wranglers and the boots.
But, the shiny ones that aren't dirty.
Yeah. And they got the real nice, you know, $60,000 truck, but it's never been through the mud or anything. So, yeah, I just love that sentiment. That's a great song.
Thank you.
What's the rest of 2023 have in store for you?
Well, we're doing some festivals and just trying to really hit the road and get the record to people a lot. You know, I'm brand new, and just people haven't heard of me or the record yet. And, you know, there's so much stuff being thrown at the wall these days. I'm just hoping that I can, you know, break through a little bit and find my crowd and my people that are going to resonate with this record and the music. And I'm just excited to see the reactions and meet new people and see new places.
I noticed on your website you have 4 Kentucky shows from now until summer.
Well, I love Kentucky.
And that was going to be my question. Is that important to play your home state? Is that important to you?
Very important to me. And then I get to go home. You know, that I don't get to go back all the time. So playing a gig gives me a good excuse to get to go and see my family and see my hometown. And it feels good. It kind of just like fills my cup when I get to go back home and play.
One of the festivals that you are playing, the Laurel, what is it, Cavern?
Cove, I think.
Yeah, Cove, that's right. Laurel Cove Music Festival in Pineville, Kentucky. It has some of my favorite artists on it and some guys we've actually talked to. Arlo McKinley, 49 Winchester, John R. Miller, Buffalo Wobbs. That is a festival I haven't been to, but I'm actually planning on coming out this year. So we'll catch you there at the Laurel Cove Music Festival.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
And then we're definitely going to be catching you at Off-Broadway in St. Louis, Thursday, March 30th. Doors are at 7, shows at 8, $25. Brent Cobb and Britt Taylor. Britt, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
Thank you. We'll see you in a week.
Bye.
If you're looking for love, if you're looking for tugs, someone to rope you in and lasso the moon, pick country tune. You want the ride of your life, rough hands to hold you at night. Get swept off your feet with a two-step, ride off into the sunset. I hate to break it to you this way, but you've come to the wrong place. There ain't no cowboys left in this town. They hung up their saddles and laid there, let it go down. Maybe they're in Texas or old Mexico. All around there.